But what that will do is it will give Selective Service unprecedented power to obtain from any other federal agency any information they think might help them identify or locate potential draftees. Now, even before that took effect, at the end of last year, the Selective Service did give notice that they will be turning over their existing registration list for immigration enforcement and other purposes. And once it goes to DOJ, we don't know what those other purposes are, but given the information in the database, it's particularly likely to be weaponized for other purposes against vulnerable trans and immigrant youth.
And finally, if you don't have a draft, how does it end up? It's poor people who go into the military because they need the financial support. And that's who ends up fighting U.S. wars. We have 30 seconds.
I think the important thing is to take the draft off the table, remove it from the arsenal of war planning, which by forcing the government to confront the question before they make wars of whether enough people will fight them, actually constrains wars before they happen, as opposed to fighting an anti-war movement after they're on.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Edward Hasbrouck, organizer with the Anti-Draft Coalition, will link to your new piece. Even if Team Trump wanted it, a military draft would be a fiasco. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking tonight at the Independent Film Center, IFC, at West 4th and 6th Avenue. Steal the Story, Please. The film about Democracy Now! Continues at the IFC in its first week here in New York City. I'll be doing Q&A with the director, Carl Diehl, and tomorrow as well at 1:30, then headed to the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, New York, for the screening of the film there. Check our website, democracynow.org. Then we head to Los Angeles, the Lemley Theaters, and the Roxy in San Francisco and beyond. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!
Hi, this is Ray Lynn, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Earth Day is around the corner. Celebrate with KBOO at our Earth Day tree planting open house, April 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mingle with other Earth-conscious radio heads, enjoy snacks and drinks, and become a part of KBOO's roots. That's April 22nd, 11 a.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, for KBOO's Earth Day Tree Planting Open House.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Energy Trust of Oregon, empowering people throughout the region with energy-efficient solutions that can improve the comfort and safety of homes, businesses, and lives. More info at energytrust.org. Energy Trust of Oregon.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 13th of April. It is approximately 8:02 a.m., and I am Cecil, and thank you for joining us this morning. Our phone numbers, if you would care to participate, are 503-231-8187. Again, our phone lines are open for conversation in a few minutes, and those numbers are 503-231-8187. Well, a lot has happened over the weekend, and among the things is I was surprised, you know, in spite of what the polls were saying, that Viktor Orban was defeated by a supermajority, fascinating news. And although we may be critical of electoral process, it is a critical tool. Voting works. It's not the sole tool, but it's one element. And the fact that this person could be defeated after, 15, 16 years in office, fascism can be defeated. Now, we all know that simply voting is not the only and the primary way of defeating fascism, but it is a way in which we can, is a tool to be used. So what are some of your reflections on that as we in the United States begin a season of midterm elections when the control of the Congress, both the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, could flip? Certainly, there is a possibility. Will the Congress return to a place where it is an equal branch of the federal government, or will it continue to be not there, unable to challenge or even to live up to its role? As we are in the middle of a war that certainly the Congress has refused to even raise the question, to have the discussion within the Congress, whether to affirm the president's decision to enter into this conflict or not, which is quite frankly frightening to me, how the Congress has failed to live up to its responsibility, even to, if the Republicans continue to be afraid of the president, to have a vote to affirm what he is doing. But who knows what will happen? The tentative ceasefire is failing. The U.S. Vice President spent 21 hours in negotiation with, and it gave you a lot of confidence. The one person in the administration who we know was against the war was sent to negotiate along with the president's son-in-law and a real estate magnate. Those are some of the things that may lead me to believe that certainly we should not be surprised. But a couple of things before we take our first call. Today is April 13th. Yesterday, April 12th, 1861, was the start of the American Civil War. 165 years ago, that war started. And at that point, we're saying whether or not this nation could survive. Certainly, there was division, but there were certainly some people who said that there have hope. Among those people were many people who had been enslaved and said, in spite of the tremendous odds, we will continue to struggle for our freedom. My great-great-grandfather, Joseph Cobb, who had been enslaved in Virginia, enlisted in the 65th U.S. Colored Infantry in 1864. He was an example of those who, against great odds, said, "We will struggle for freedom." A little more than 100 years after that, on April 16th, 1963, Martin Luther King wrote his letter from a Birmingham jail and laid out why it was important for those who have often been on the sideline to find their voice and to advocate for freedom and justice. So the struggle continues. The defeat of Viktor Orban in Hungary may be a sign of hope and anticipation. But yet this week, an hour ago, the U.S. was supposed to start blocking the straits. Nothing has happened yet. And so we are at a point, where are we in this world? But let's hear from our caller who has some, hopefully some wisdom, some signs of hope. Let's hear from our first caller. Good morning, Edie. How are you this morning?
Dear Cecil, I just want to hug you. Thank you for mentioning the profound connections with African-American, European-American immigrant. I don't know if I ever heard, if you've said anything about Indigenous Americans and and the resistance all these centuries against fascism, and the hope that when people are seeing how extreme and overt it is, they stand up in resistance, and there is hope. Today I want folks to show up at Southwest 3rd and Salmon, starting about a half hour ago, in solidarity with what is the current version of Children v. Gov. It is Lighthizer v. or versus Trump, in which they're going through an appeals saying that Donald Trump made three executive orders that are constitutional, illegal, and harmful, and that we need to resist that. Giving over our life, our safety, our democracy, our economy to the fossil fuel industry. We need to get free of that because fossil fuels feed wars, and wars need fossil fuels, and wars are fought to steal fossil fuels that causes genocide and ecocide. So it is Lighthizer v. Trump. That's one of the many youth that are suing Donald Trump. We need to be in solidarity with them. And if you can, show up in court, federal court, no weapons, no, you know, nothing metal, no signs. Decorum is peaceful and respectful. Also, at Multnomah Court today, on near the Madison and First, is the Multnomah County Courthouse. And we can stand in solidarity, or sit quietly, in solidarity with people who were arrested for standing against genocide, ecocide in Palestine. And then Wednesday is tax day, April 15th. And so there are multiple organizations that have been resisting using our taxes to commit war and genocide, ecocide. A bunch of those groups are organizing 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. on the Burnside Bridge and the Hawthorne Bridge. I invite people to show up. You cannot legally tie anything to the bridges or the poles or the light posts or anything, and we don't want give police an opportunity to brutalize us or prevent the message. But show up on the Hawthorne Bridge and the Burnside Bridge, showing up your sign saying you don't want your taxes for war and climate destruction, but have war for peace and justice. And then 5:30 p.m., after all the staff and the federal public servants have already left. Portland for Palestine is having a protest against taxes for war, 5:30 at the 9/11 Northeast 11. Not a crackdown on immigration. It is racist ethnic cleansing and terrorism ramping up for a bigger police state with more concentration camps. So let's resist it. Let's take care of each other. By working with the different groups that are coordinating for the May Day acknowledgement of immigrants and labor rights workers who were murdered in show trials, and stand up for mothers. Mother's Day was created to be anti-war because mothers on both sides of wars don't want war. Let us bring back the solidarity with each other across nations, across classes, across so-called races, for the environment, for each other. And that activism combats helplessness, depression, despair, addictions. Let's unite in love and fierce courage and creativity, nonviolently.
Thank you so much.
We need to support KABU because the Oregonian, et cetera, have been developed to be anti-war. To be anti-labor, pro-war, and anti-the environment. So we're not getting the publicity for the facts that we need to have. So let's support KABU every way we can while we're at it.
Before I let you go, I want you to just repeat those three actions you mentioned. Right now, you said Southwest 2nd and 3rd.
Yes, at the federal courthouse.
The federal courthouse.
In solidarity with Lighthizer or Children v. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Multnomah County District, solidarity with anti-genocide protesters. Wednesday morning, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. on the Burnside Bridge and Hawthorne Bridge. Against taxes for war and climate destruction.
Great. Thank you so much, Edie. Thank you for sharing the information and allowing us to know that there are things that people can do. Appreciate you so much. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil. Our last caller, Edie, was sharing some actions that people can participate in this week, opposing the war machine and ways in which you can stand up against what is happening and oppose the fossil fuel industry, the march towards war, how you can be in solidarity with those who are opposing this war. A couple of actions on Wednesday on the Burnside and Hawthorne Bridges, as well as just a heads up that May Day is coming up, and be aware of things that you can do and participate. Thank you so much. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I would appreciate your calls to participate in our conversation about what you think that we should do in terms of challenging all that is happening to, these days. As I mentioned, I was enthused, surprised by the defeat of Viktor Orban by a supermajority in terms of his political party, and that gave us some hope of what can be done. At the same time, we are in the midst of the of an administration who seems to be, for I'm not sure what reason, it changes from time to time in terms of the reason for their involvement in this deadly war, as well as what are the terms of the ceasefire. The fact that this ceasefire is hanging by a thread, and that the U.S. About an hour and 20 minutes ago, the president threatened that they would block the Straits of Hormuz. Reason for pause and anticipation. What are things that we can do? Well, our first caller gave us a few options of things that are important for people to do in fellowship with one another. Let's hear what are some of your thoughts about these issues or others. And again, on this, the week of the anniversary of the start of the Civil War, and also Martin Luther King letter from a Birmingham jail, might give us some anticipation of people in the past who took action for liberation. Let's go to our next caller, Tuwasi. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, it was just Easter, and it's been a week now, I guess, but in relative terms. And the new moon is just around the corner. So, obviously planting food and growing your own food is something that you can do. And if you've been in the grocery store recently, then you might see the value in creating a network of food sovereignty among your friends and neighbors. Mm-hmm. Because the system of growing food and delivering it around the nation is being torn apart. And for us to rely on it would be naive and also, extremely detrimental to our society. So creating food sovereignty, I was looking at that historic image from the 1800s of a pile of buffalo skulls. The feeling of hunger imposed by the government, it's not a novel feeling for me.
No.
I had food stamps as a child and as an adult, and I saw those numbers get pushed down. And I've been told in the past, your mom's a welfare queen.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is that any food stamp dollar that we ever received, we spent entirely because we needed food. And I don't have any food stamps now. I still need food. Right. And this is the only reason I bring up food stamps and welfare is because 150 years ago, when there was no state of Oregon, the people who lived here didn't have food stamps and still were able to eat.
Mm.
They didn't have dollars, and yet they were able to eat. So for us to look at food and say only people who have dollars are entitled to food is a relatively new concept to this specific territory. I understand colonial thought has embedded that programming into your mind so thoroughly that if you see a person who is hungry, you say, why don't they have money? Instead of saying, why don't they have food?
Wow. Wow.
So one more thing that we can easily do besides shifting our mindset around food is, and this is a whole different subject, and I'm sorry to pivot, but the conversation around ethnic cleansing has got to be verbose and dramatic. We can't accept the narrative of immigration, immigration surges, migrants, asylum seekers, and farm workers. This is ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to call it ethnic cleansing every day,
yes.
Call it war crimes at every turn, because or crimes against humanity
mm-hmm.
at every turn, because we're participating in the disenfranchisement of our friends and neighbors by allowing them to say immigration surge when they're not performing immigration duties.
Yes.
What they're performing are crimes against humanity. They're performing ethnic cleansing. If they were performing immigration duties, there would be immigration courts, immigration trials, immigration judges. Instead, just today, they fired 5 immigration judges.
Yes.
On Friday. And so that is as clear of an indicator as you need that they're not doing an immigration surge. They're doing ethnic cleansing, and we need to be honest. This is a previous time when you asked what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
I called in and said, be honest.
Right.
Be honest with each other. This is ethnic cleansing. Be honest with each other. They're going to try and starve us. And act as though both of those things are true, because we have a very desolate future ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to prepare by creating networks of food sovereignty and protection against ethnic cleansing. So,
well, thank you so much for raising those points, food sovereignty and naming ethnic cleansing. You know, part of, I think, where we are as a nation is that they, those in authority, are not afraid of shying away from using the term ethnic cleansing. That's, you know, they're upfront about it. And so we should be able to say it as well, and to be very particular about why this should be a concern against its crimes, as you so adequately said, crimes against humanity. Thank you, Tuwasi. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Tuwasi was sharing some of their thoughts about the need for creating food sovereignty, to upholding that, and also some observation about what they said about the crimes against humanity, ethnic cleansing, this war against so-called immigrants, migrants, and asylum seekers. Call it for what it is, ethnic cleansing, they said. Let's go to our next caller who's been waiting. Good morning, Lenita.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you? Happy Monday to you and your engineer.
Thank you. Happy Monday to you. It's a new week.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you for mentioning the Civil War. We tend to forget how massive that absolute war was, how many people died, and the real reason was because of slavery. The southern states wanted to have slavery move beyond a certain line, and other folks fought it. And you got to give love. Abraham Lincoln wasn't perfect, but he believed in the Union. And here we are, you know, people talking about wanting another Civil War. Here we are getting ready to pay our taxes on Wednesday, and look where our federal tax dollars are going. I appreciate your previous caller talking about SNAP benefits and the many changes that are going through SNAP that's going to affect all sorts of Oregonians. But I wanted to end on a happy note, Cecil, that I was encouraged about democracy when I read that the opposition party won in Hungary.
Yes. Yes.
That made me happy, and we have so few moments of happiness during this regime. And to see that happen, and I hope J.D. Vance continues to be active, because whatever he touches dies.
The Pope dies, Viktor Orban, he loses, yes.
Yeah, we need him around here more. Maybe send him to Congress so we can get something passed. But Oh, I don't know what to say about the war. I mean, we are, you're really good, Cecil, at bringing up history. And I remember people forget that there was an oil embargo imposed on Japan, which caused them to react, and now we had Pearl Harbor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now Trump is barricading or putting a blockade on the straits that so many other nations depend on for their resources, and this one nation is blockading it. I mean, you're messing around with other people's money.
Well, yeah, and, well, you know, part of it, now he's blocking the straits. He wanted it open last week. Now he's blocking the straits. What's going on? Yes.
Now, what's that term Althea talked about? It's called taco, Trump always.
Chickens what? Out.
But we'll see, because we know that these ideas he's implementing are not his ideas. Someone else is pulling the string. And they just don't know who they messing with. You know, you start messing with other people's money. Sell those T-bonds, countries, and they are. They're slowly selling those treasury bonds. And on that note, I have to look for happiness. Again, I'm happy with what happened in Hungary. I'm happy that you're there. I'm happy that we have a independent source of communication in Oregon. So, hey, happy Monday, my brother.
Thank you so much, Dad. Thank you for reminding us there are things to be joyful about. And seeing what happened in Hungary is a moment of joy. Thank you, Lenita, for calling and sharing this morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil, and our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller, Lenita, was sharing. Excuse me. She was sharing some of her thoughts of, you know, about what's going on, and again, reminding us moments of joy, and you know, lest we forget what has happened in Hungary, the authoritarian ruler who, for the last decade and a half, has clasped down on freedom in their country, and became the authored the model in which other authoritarian regimes throughout the world, including the United States, has followed, in terms of clamping down on press freedom. Clamping down on freedom of expression, horrible anti-immigration laws, ethnic cleansing, and cozying up to other authoritarian rulers. Well, if that regime could be defeated by the uprising of the people, by the methods of voting, a massive turnout, which overwhelmed the regime so that Viktor Orban conceded defeat. Take note, Mr. Donald Trump, how an authoritarian ruler should respond to when they are defeated by the citizenry. We'll see what will happen. But perhaps that can be an inspiration for us here in the United States. Again, electoral voting is not the only way or the sole way in which to defeat this regime that we are facing. It is one tool in the toolbox. And as Martin Luther King reminded us, there are many ways in which people can take action against authoritarianism. And we will see what will happen. One other note before we take the call. Any response about the threat that the president has against the Pope? You know? Let's go to our next caller. June, good morning, June. Joan. Hello, I'm Joan.
Yes. Yes, taking a chance again to say something. I've been reading a book called We Will Rest by Tricia Hersey, a black woman, another black woman with really good ideas. Mm. And her book is about taking the time to just stop and rest when we need to, because we're supposed to be thrashing around trying to survive in what she calls a grind culture. Meanwhile, our anger and frustration being aimed at each other. What's going on, and what are the little acts of resistance that we can do where we refuse to cooperate with what's going on? Mm. Just to go, wait a minute, I'm supposed to do this at my job. I'm supposed to be backbiting on this person. I'm supposed to be, you know, running myself into anxiety, feeling hopeless and scared and blaming the victim wherever I see the victim. Just refusing to do that and entering a space of rest and consciousness and kindness and looking around and seeing what I can do in my daily life is something, I think.
Wow.
That we're supposed to be thrashing around, and you know, it's all this chaotic whirlwind,
right.
You know what I mean? Play it, surf it, like it's a kind of music. Wait a minute, that's not my tune. I'm not going to dance to that.
So tell me,
I'm not going to dance to that tune.
So tell me a little bit more about what she says about how to refuse to dance to that tune. How do we rest?
Well, I'm not her, you know, and my experience is different. But those moments when we can just go, wait a minute, I need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overworked. I'm overbooked. I'm overcommitted. I'm in a frenzy. I refuse to go there.
Yes.
There's that homeless guy on the street. Am I going to blame him? You know, the homeless guy on the street is there to remind us that if we don't keep, you know, dancing to that tune, that's what's going to happen to us.
Yes.
Wait a minute, you know, just take a, you know, where can you rest, she says. Can you take a nap? Can you quietly eat your lunch? Can you just pull back? You're asked to do something at your job that doesn't feel right. Are you sure you have to do that?
Very good.
A form of, you know, she's making it a form of, is it passive resistance? I think it's a kind of active resistance by taking it back.
Yes.
You know, I refuse. I'm supposed to, you know, everybody's in the corner gossiping about this person who's doing this. Wait a minute. Do I have to participate in that? Can I bring peace to this moment? You know, it's sort of pulling back. You're sitting on the bus and looking at everybody and just trying to get a feeling of what's really going on here. Am I distracting myself constantly with this so-called entertainment that's coming at me from these ridiculous devices? Is that what I'm being asked to do? Where's my consciousness being pulled? Do I need Facebook? Do I need, you know, of course, that's my particular rant. I don't like
this
thing.
Yes, okay.
But there are ways that, you know, you can still pull back. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Here's an influencer. Am I being influenced?
Yes.
What the heck is going on? You just pull back, take the time. What do I really want to be doing in this moment? That sort of thing. And I think, I really think that anything that takes us away from unity, what am I doing with my anger? Am I throwing it on this other group of people that I'm supposed to be angry at? Is that helping anything? You know, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do in my own life.
Thank you.
It seems small, but I think if we all think that way, it's sort of like a general strike. I think that's what she's proposing, is a kind of general strike.
Well, thank you so much for that. And again, the name of the book is We Will Resist, The Art of Escape.
We Will Rest.
Rest, yes.
It's like a manifesto, really. It's an art book. I found it in the library. It's beautiful.
Great.
And it's like a manifesto of, wait a minute.
Thank you.
That's the word. Wait a minute. The guy who's supposed to be in charge, he's acting, okay, here I go. I'm not a journalist, I can say it. He's acting like a combination of a would-be mafia don and a mental patient who thinks he's Napoleon. Is this our leader? And what does that mean?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Joan, for reminding us. We Will Rest by Tricia Hersey. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. Joan, our last caller, recommended a volume, We Will Rest, The Art of Escape. Rest is Resistance by Tricia Hersey. Let's go to our next caller. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. Always good to hear your voice. Yeah, regarding the previous caller and the addiction to cell phones, I play electric guitar, and I notice when I take my cell phone, even when I'm not calling people, just if it's on, if I hold it up to my pickups on my electric guitar, I can hear radiation coming out of that cell phone even when it's not being calling anybody. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's, I can let other callers that are more expert at I than to I got two main things I want to talk to you about, Cecil. Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
And I need some feedback from you. First is a local one. There are two senators in Oregon. There's Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, they have one glaring difference between the two. Because Ron Wyden, a proclaimed Jew, voted $26 billion of our tax money to go towards Israel while it was bombing Gaza, while Israel was murdering children. Ron Wyden, he on record gave $26 billion to the state of Israel from my tax money and your tax money. But that's the secondary. Here's the main thing I want to talk to you about. You talked about Congress being afraid to go against the president of the United States. You know, in other words, Congress versus the executive branch. But let me ask you this question. How come Germany and France in Europe, how come they haven't forced the United States to pull out their military bases? They have, because my brother did 20 years in the Air Force. How come the Germany and France have not, of date, asked the United States to remove their military bases off their own territory, because those bases are being used to launch air attacks against the civilians? Let me ask you about that.
Good question. I'm not sure. So that's a good question to ask in terms of so-called alliance, NATO alliance, which seems to be hanging on a very thin thread these days. It's second point, Arthur, before I go to our next caller.
Yeah, you want me to... You also address Ron, because my son is considers himself Jewish. I really want to discuss this thing with Ron Wyden.
Well,
I understand that he says he's a Jew.
Well,
I vote for $26 billion for Israel. You tell me that, and you know, I'm not going to ask you to be my rabbi here.
I cannot be your rabbi, but I think you should. I mean, I think we all agree that there's one's religion and one support of a political state are separate. But thank you so much, Arthur. And let's go to our next caller, Corey.
Hey, Cecil. Thanks for taking my call. To answer that gentleman's question real quick, I mean, that's what NATO is all about when you ask why Germany and France. It's really still in just an extreme strategic necessity, more of a calculated way to see the approach. They know these countries have been around longer than the USA. They know Trump's not going to be here much longer. And so, honestly, that's what NATO does. They provide a security umbrella. And they'd rather have, you know, especially like with France, they still rely on U.S. intelligence, high-end U.S. military technology. They'd rather deal with a difficult ally than have no ally at all. Those bases, I mean, they'll always be there. Same thing with the bases in the Pacific. That's just to answer the question. It's basically, Germany, France know what they're dealing with. They're willing to deal with it, but it it provides a strategic blanket for pretty much the Western Hemisphere and Europe. So that's the answer to that question. And then to kind of go back to some other points, first of all, good to hear from you. I'm back in the U.S., no longer in London. I'll talk about that another time. You mentioned the post-Pope Leo part. I am not a religious person, but I do like Pope Leo because his focus so far has been about social justice and peace. And I think that's what you want from a Pope. And of course, that would be kind of appealing when it comes to Donald Trump. And I did see the Trump Jesus post that he posted this morning or last night or whatever it may be. And what I find humorous about that is I'm on Twitter watching people, you know, MAGA supporters with their hair on fire talking about this is a bridge too far. So they don't care about what he's doing in Iran. They don't care about what he's done here in the U.S., but posting an image of him as Jesus. And here's the funny part. I've seen that image everywhere. Not that image. I mean, not that exact image, but him as Jesus or a godlike figure at many of his rallies. So is it the fact that he posted it that's upsetting them? Because it's just, it doesn't make any sense. And then to the kind of final point, like, I'm a psychologist, and I'm not a clinician, but I think that at a certain point, if you really care about America, this is becoming a mental health issue. I mean, he'll be 80 years old in a couple months, and what he's showing, and this is, I still have training as a clinician, is a cognitive decline. And that person, when you're posting images like that, when you're in the middle of a war and you're too busy going to UFC fights, it just seems like the people in the Congress, the gentleman mentioned Congress, the Senate, they're just so irresponsible if they really care about America. Because I would rather have J.D. Vance. I don't like him at all. But I'd rather have someone like him for the next year. So you don't know what Trump's going to do, because I think there is a cognitive decline. Even the NAACP called for the invocation of the 25th Amendment. Saying he thinks it as well. So I just think there's a certain point to where we haven't dealt with the mental health issues in America or in the States. And then you see it come out with the current president, like, you know, this is a big issue. I think. Well,
I think I and many other people share your concerns and awareness of the concern about the president's mental health condition. My concern is not so much his mental health, but among those around him. Why hasn't his cabinet stood up? Why hasn't the House and the Senate stood up? Why haven't there been opposition against him? So, you know, I worry about when he is gone, and he will go at some point, leave, is what's left behind. Because what I see is a bunch of people and institutions which are unable to live up to their calling. So whether it is, I'm concerned about the president, but also about the administration and the other institutions that's supposed to have some checks and balances.
100%. I think there's been failure. And look, I'm no fan of Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer either. There's just been failure, I think. I don't like to say that on both sides, but of course with the Republicans, but with the Democrats, they're not even talking about that. Or if they do, it's like in a sort of half-pronged way. So, no, it's good to be back, and I'll keep listening, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much, Corey, and you take care. And, yeah, so the president is once again proclaiming his divine status as another Jesus, and picking a battle with the Pope reminds me of Stalin, his supposed question, how many divisions do the Pope have? And, you know, he has about 150 switch guards, but enough of a threat to cause the President of the United States to act like he normally does. Let's go to our next caller. Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to touch on some things others have said. One was the book. I'm going to go get that. Trisha Hershey, right? We Will Rest. I love it. Mm-hmm. The thing about when she talked about someone gossiping, I want people to be more selfish, okay? Because whoever they're gossiping about now, Next week, it'll be you, okay?
Mm.
Okay. Get it? If you join in on their gossip, next week they're going to be gossiping about you.
Okay.
That's how they just think they need a target, and you'll be the next one.
Hmm.
I want about Tawasi was talking about welfare, and I again want to reiterate how many billions of dollars we give the Well, here's what. Let's call it the oil industry. I don't think oil comes out of bones, fossils. Mm-hmm. So, but that's called wealthy fare, is what I call that.
Wealthy fare. Okay.
But my main point, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. My main point is words again. And so here's one. People think this is a really great word. Understand. Is understand? You want to stand under? I mean, would you? Comprehend is a much better word, don't you think?
Well, okay.
Comprehend.
If it works for you, it works for me.
Well, it's just a shrug gesture.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Oh, and here, we got to touch on this. Okay. Trump posting himself as Jesus. So let's go to this man's words. He says, beware. People will say, he is there, he is here, I am him. Don't believe them. Okay, look, when this happens, there ain't going to be no doubt. Every knee shall bow. There's not going to be any question about what is happening. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tangent. And I don't think there are too many people who will confuse Trump with Jesus, but who knows? Thank you so much for Trump and for reminding us that how we should conduct ourselves. And I appreciate it. Let's go to our next caller. Jeff, thank you, Jeff, for waiting.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to wait for you, Cecil. The Swiss Guard, by the way, have the most fabulous outfits. It's something that, were I to celebrate Halloween, I would do my level best to present myself as one of the Swiss Guards because of their delightful outfits.
That's an idea. I've never thought of that. I don't think I've ever seen. Yes.
I might even have to carry one of those curved axes, and yes. I don't know what the word is for that. But there is a word that is important, and it applies to Ron Wyden and many others, and the Orange Caligula as well. The word is gerontocracy, G-E-R-E-N-tocracy. And that means rule by really old people. And Mondami in New York City is among those who are challenging gerontocracy generally.
Yeah.
Now, I have nothing against old people. I think old people, like myself, have some modicum of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean that we are somehow entitled to rule the nation.
Right.
And gerontocracy is another factor in the decline of this nation. And let's get busy. Let's celebrate young people. And more importantly, let us educate young people so that they're ready to hold on to the reins of this powerful thing. Gerontocracy. Boo, yes.
That is so true. And, you know, I think it's interesting that, Ron Wyden, when he was younger, got part of his core when he was a young organizer with the Gray Panthers. And now he is old. And I agree. I think I agree with you in terms of we ought to move over.
And thank you, Cecil.
Thank you so much. And our last caller, Jeff, was sharing some of their thoughts about gerontocracy. And we see that so often. He contrasted what we saw in New York with the 34-year-old mayor, as opposed to this hold on power that people of a certain age refuse to let go of. And so whether it is the continued hold on power of older people, with the president or Ron Wyden or people in their 70s and 80s and refusing, and we see that in Congress as certain congressional representatives refuse to let go of their power and allow a different new generation take responsibility. I think we have to realize this in many, many of our institutions and how to we share power and how to we mentor and how to we how and when are we able to hand over power. Those are some of our thoughts. I appreciate so much the calls that people have been sharing this morning. Let me remind you of an action that Edie shared with us this morning. Right now in Southwest 7 and 3rd, people are standing in opposition to the fossil fuel industry. Later on, there will be a tax day actions on Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30 on Burnside and Hawthorne Bridges, or things that people might want to consider. And later on, May Day, Mother Day action. There are lots of actions that are being planned around this, around town and around our state as well, in terms of Mother Day actions and also in terms of solidarity with workers and immigrant workers. Tuasi shared some of their thoughts about creating food sovereignty and the importance of building together and some awareness of the have conversation around the ethnic cleansing that is being promoted by our federal government. If you have considering, what can I do? What can I do? Well, Joan shared with us a book she had recommend, We Will Rest, The Art of Escape. Rest is Resistance. And that is by Tricia Hertzey. It's a book in which we're able to see how to balance our lives. Arthur shared some of us about his addiction to cell phone and talk about how do we respond. Corey had some observation about how the president is picking a war now with the Pope, and Tangent reminded us that people tend to be selfish, and Jeff concluded by recommending that maybe we should dress up as Swiss guards for Halloween. And a more serious question about those in power, such as Ron Wyden as an example, who continue to hold on to power and unable to step aside for a new generation. Those are things that are important. I mentioned earlier that this is the anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War, and Martin Luther King letter from a Birmingham jail. I recommend that to you to read for meditation and inspiration. Here in part, he says, we know that through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have never yet engaged in a direct action movement that was well-timed according to the timetable of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with a piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. It has meant a tranquilizing thalidomide, relieving the emotional stress for a moment, only to give birth to an ill-informed infant of frustration. We must come to see with the distinguished jurors of yesterday that justice too long delayed is justice denied. We have waited for more than 340 years for our constitutional and God-given rights. He goes on by explaining that those who urge complacency are not actually people who are in solidarity with those who are struggling for their freedom. These words ring true today as throughout this nation and indeed throughout the world. We as a nation, as we sit on the precipice of world destruction, we must continue to resist our our federal government take humbrance by the people of Hungary, who is able, in spite of the power that their authoritarian regime had over them, was able to resist. Those are words of inspiration. So as we continue on today and throughout the week, maintain your truth, continue to hold on to hope, and know that all of us in this struggle will get through it if we remain true to the principles that we are our siblings' keeper, that we are to create a society where all are lifted up, where no one is denied, and where war becomes obsolete and justice is a lived reality for all people. The struggle is long, it is hard work, but we are encouraged by one another. We are inspired by the ability for us to work together. So taking inspiration from those who went before us, let us maintain in the struggle, knowing that truth held down will not be denied, and that we are standing on the shoulders and inspiration of those who went before us, and we will be the inspiration of those who come after us. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you so much for listening to More Talk Radio. I thank you for your time, and I will speak with you next time.
I'm Sequoia Ezekwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBOO Community Radio, KBOO Portland.